Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Maybe he can make some sense of it. I don't know. Santana, was Sunday just a big waste of time? Just a big fart in the wind?
Yeah.
No.
It definitely was. You know, that's a tie. It was, I don't want to call it a waste, but as they say, the tie goes to the runner. The runner in this instance is the Minnesota Vikings, because basically you're a division opponent that held serve on the road. So it's going to be a big deal when we go up to Minnesota to try to get that victory, because otherwise the tie goes to the runner, and you know, Minnesota tying us on the road, I think might come back to bite us if we have like records at the end of the day.
Is there any chance we face that same kicker the next time we play the Vikings?
What are they going to do with that guy?
They made him a fifth round pick.
Right.
He was a guy they picked, highest pick kicker ever from the Vikings, and he choked on three field goals.
I recall back in my day, we had a third round pick that ended up didn't make the cut, and we kept a guy by the name of Ryan Longwell, and everybody remembers that name, of course. It's going to be interesting what happens in Minnesota. You know, but a lot of times the kicking seemed bad yesterday around the league. If you watch, there were a lot of kickers that missed extra points and field goals for whatever reason. And the officiating, we know, was, gosh, awful, in my opinion, yesterday as well.
Matthews
call, but a lot of the calls throughout the game. I mean, it's in that, at a, such a pivotal juncture. I don't think I could ever be an official, because I'm not making any call of that nature in such a close game unless it is just a horribly egregious act.
Well, the calls that bugged me most weren't like rule induced, like the, roughing the quarterback calls that we're getting now. I just thought it was there was a ticky tack offensive pass interference call, I think, on Davante Adams.
Yeah,
and earlier in the game, Jimmy Graham basically had his arm grabbed before the ball got to him, that was just left.
There was no
left
call.
Left with nothing.
And the announcers were always passing off as, well, that's a bang-bang play.
Yeah,
well,
it wasn't bang-bang.
They're all bang-bang plays.
It was clearly an early grab. It wasn't all that bang-bang.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, there was some bad calls on both sides of the fence all the way throughout the game. And, you know, to your point, they seem to be a lot more lenient on the pass interference and what they're calling and not calling, attempting to call it both ways, than they have been in the past. Because for the years prior, as a defender, you could not touch or breathe heavily on an offensive receiver, tight end or wide receiver or otherwise, past 5 yards. So any type of grab or touch or push or pull would be called, you know, to the benefit of the offensive player. But it seems like they're more lenient on that now. And, you know, it came back to bite us in the last few minutes of the game, or in that end of the fourth quarter, was the Clay Matthews, which that hit turns out to be, you know, that's our, what they're calling, the Aaron Rodgers rule. It was actually always there, and it was there after that McMahon hit, which you guys remember, that the Packer that hit the Jim McMahon, that would have been late 80s when we picked him up and slammed him to the turf when everybody had AstroTurf.
Yeah.
So then you could not put your body weight as a defender on the quarterback of the opposition. That's when that rule was inserted. But now they're really putting a lot more value to that rule after what happened to Aaron Rodgers last year.
Well, he didn't drag.
It's rough as a defender, as a pass rusher. I don't know what you're supposed to do. You feel for Clay Matthews, but the rules are the rules right now.
He wrapped him up and he tackled him. He didn't drive him into the ground. He didn't land on him. I don't know what he's supposed to do. I really don't know how you're supposed to tackle the quarterback.
I agree. I mean, the only thing you could say or hope is there's a quick whistle. But like you said, you know, everybody loves to talk about the bang, bang. He's rushing the quarterback through the middle, through the interior of the offensive line. Okay, there's a quarterback right in front of me. I'm running 15, 20 miles an hour. I'm wrapping, and I'm taking him to the ground. I didn't see any lift. I didn't see him throw his shoulder into the ground. I mean, you've been, as a defender, you're taught from 6 years old to when you make a tackle, you wrap and grab cloth. And that's exactly what he did. So I'm not sure what he can or is supposed to do differently.
Again, I remember when I knew what roughing the passer was, when the ball was gone and the quarterback is like watching it go and somebody drills him, hits him high in the chest or something like that, and just takes him out. That's a roughing the passer. Now tackling the passer is considered roughing him.
Right, yeah. You better get to him when he's just taking in the snap.
You know, as a player, you look back at the 70, 80 plays that were in that game yesterday, and you try to point to something different. You're not supposed to allow something officiating or something that's out of your hands to affect the game. So you look at what you did specifically, the other plays that could have made that play or made the difference in the game. But it's real rough for pass rushers right now as far as rushing the quarterback.
Now, I know we're in the modern day, but there used to be a joke. Remember Ben Davidson played for the Raiders? The joke was he hit quarterbacks so late, quarterbacks were still jumpy walking to their car after the game. They thought Ben Davidson might show up and knock them out. You know, that I understand. I get that. You can't just leave them out hanging out there any more than – you can let guys like Night Train Lane, clothesline guys, intentionally. That was his move.
Really bringing up football history.
Right,
here.
But that's, I understand why we have, where I understand why we are now, what we're doing now, because that was insane. You know, when those guys were playing, you know, the head slap, trying to rip a guy's head off when you tackled him, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, that there, it's always been a quarterback-driven league. We already know that. You know, they're trying to protect these guys. You know, there's a case to be made when Aaron Rodgers is out, which like he was last year for 8 to 10 weeks, or however long he was out, that the NFL suffers. Because even if you're not a Packer fan, you enjoy watching a player like Aaron Rodgers. But at the same time, you've got guys that are defensive guys that, you know, they have a job to do, and you're impeding them. And to me, you're hurting the game when you make calls like that, you know. And if we're going to rewind the tape, if you remember when Tom Brady was injured a few years back, you as a defender or a pass rusher, now you cannot hit the quarterback below the waist as far as making a sack. You can't hit him in the head as far as making the
sack. And you can't land on him.
And you can't grab him around the waist and take him to the ground, apparently.
So I'm not sure. Are we getting to the point, or would we prefer the quarterback just to honestly have some type of a flag or a buzzer on the shoulder pads? And, you know, if the defender just slaps the shoulder pad, he's down like that.
Put a timer on him.
We're going with that kind of call.
Put a red light on his helmet. You know, if that light goes off, he's down. He's down.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, there's going
to
be...
Honestly, I mean, if you think about that and the things that they're calling, what am I to do as, you know, as a defender, as a pass rusher?
What are you supposed to do when a quarterback rolls out and he might run and, you know, he's still, you know, in a passing stance, though, so he might pass?
Does it change when you're out of the pocket? Does the rules change?
At what point can you, you know, if he's in a passing stance, he's a quarterback, right? You can't...
You are exactly right. You know, now you have to remind the official that because you've got so many running quarterbacks these days, that you've got to remind the official, like, look, if there's some type of RPO, which we're calling them now, which is run pass option play, that this quarterback is a runner. And I've got the right to hit him as I would any running back or anybody else. But you can still see the tentativeness, if that's even a word, of when these guys – when these defenders
Absolutely.
And the quarterback decides to run, there's a little bit of ease up when they have to hit these quarterbacks because of all these rules and the protection.
Well, I thought that might have happened to, I think it was Wilkinson yesterday.
When he jumped?
I thought he had Cousins wrapped up.
Oh.
I thought they were like kind of in a little scrum, and then...
Like he's thinking, well, blow the whistle. I got him, blow the whistle.
Yeah,
don't make me tackle him, you'll throw a flag.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead, Cousins squirted out and flipped a pass.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely can see it. You definitely can see it when you watch around the league, not only in our game yesterday, but all around the league. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, to see what happens with this. With these pass rushers and quarterbacks, they got to do something different.
How would you rate our defense yesterday? How did they play? What did you think?
You know, again, as you self-reflect as a player, I think the fact that, to answer your question, I feel like they played well enough. I was excited about special teams and the block. I don't know when the last time we actually had an aggressive play call like that as far as going for the block early in the game. So my hat's off to that, and be able to get a turnover for a touchdown. That's outstanding. Defense played well enough until the fourth quarter, because you gave up 22 points in the quarter.
Yeah.
So that's unacceptable. I felt like there were flashes of being a good defense, and defensive, as far as a secondary, we're not tackling well and we're taking bad angles. And that may be because we're so used to seeing Charles Woodson and the likes of him in the secondary. And we're kind of young when you get beyond the cornerbacks. So, and when you get beyond Ha-Ha, who's playing well early in the season. But I feel like the angles were bad at times, particularly in the fourth quarter. You know, not taking away anything from Minnesota, because they've got a good wide receiver crew. And we can see why they would pay Cousins what they decide to pay him to get him there. He's throwing nice balls. But at the same time, I thought our secondary could have done better, particularly in the fourth quarter.
I was watching Vikings get stopped and actually, you know, the Packers forcing some punts. And I thought, wow, our defense has improved. And then, you know, they sort of didn't stop the Vikings. I thought, well, the Packer defense was so horrible last year that any kind of improvement, even up to average, sort of knocks you back on your heels and you start thinking, oh, hey, we have a defense, when they're really just kind of average, if that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm not sure if we have enough playmakers to be a dominant defense when you look at us on the defensive side. And we've been offensive heavy, and it's not just Aaron. You know, if you look at our free agents and our draft picks the last 6-7 years, I'm not saying anything that nobody really doesn't know, but we've been offensively heavy, and the defense is starting to pay for it. But you definitely, when you look at us defensively, you're not sure if we have enough playmakers to be on the field and make enough consistent plays defensively.
All right, one more thing before we go. Is Jacksonville for real? I mean, they had a pretty easy time with New England yesterday.
Yes. Yes, if you remember, in the AFC Championship, which was their first time in playoffs in eons, and they make it to the AFC Championship last year, they were up by 2 scores in that AFC Championship. They are definitely, when you talk about defensively, a defense to deal with. Fournette was out with a hamstring injury. That's their top running back, who is an outstanding running back out of LSU. And what surprised me yesterday is the quarterback being able to do the things he did, which is Bortles, yesterday with Fournette being out. So if Bortles can do that consistently, I see Jacksonville and their defense being back in the playoffs and or Super Bowl at the end of the year.
All wow. Right. Okay.
That'd be interesting. All right, Santana, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
No, I know. We're out of time. Right. Hey, sit tight.
Now what are you going to do the rest of the week, huh?
My Java was just kicking in.
Sit tight till next Monday, all right?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
All right.
Santana Dotson.